This is an invitation to spend 15 minutes with the Bible. I'm Bill Boyd, the preacher for the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is between McMinnville and Biola, just across from the Mount Zion Road, and all are welcome to all of our services. You may want to take your Bibles and go ahead and turn to Psalm 19. That is where we will be in just a moment. The 15 minutes with the Bible. Did you know that if you spent about 15 minutes a day reading the Bible, you could read the Bible all the way through in an entire year? It might not even take you 15 minutes a day. Do this test. Read Genesis 1, 2, and 3, those first three chapters, and time yourself to see how long it takes to read them. Read them at a very comfortable pace. You could even read it out loud if you want to. And then time yourself, and that is about the amount of time you would need to spend daily reading the Bible to have it read through an entire year. Even though the Bible is a massive book, it's really not as hard to read as you might think if you set yourself up on a regular pattern of doing this, or make it habitual for you to do this. And I would suggest this as well. While you're reading the Bible, go ahead and take time to pray. It's a communication back and forth with God. God speaks to us through His Word. We speak to God when we pray. And so this time of Bible study and prayer is just a good way to have that communication with God. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2 tells us that we are transformed by the renewing of our minds. Now think about that. The mind is what you think with. And if you want to change the person you are, if you want the person you are to become the person that God created you for and that God wants you to be, you can be transformed into that person, changed into that person by changing your mind. And the way you change your mind is by filling it with the Word of God. Having the knowledge of the things in the Bible in your mind changes you into a better person. You read in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16, "Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly with all wisdom." That's not just the Word of Christ dwelling in you. It's dwelling in you richly and with all wisdom. Wisdom has to do with learning how to apply what the Bible teaches to the way you live and letting it dwell in you. That means it remains with you and it stays with you. And it's not just knowing a memory verse. Let it dwell in you richly. As it says in the first Psalm, "His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in this law doth he meditate day and night." And so having that kind of a intimate knowledge of God's Word is letting the Word of Christ dwell in you richly with all wisdom. And then you compare this to a parallel passage. That's Colossians 3:16. Compare that to Ephesians 5:19, where it says, "Be ye filled with the Spirit." You know, it is the Holy Spirit that gave us the Word of God. These holy men of old spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. What the Holy Spirit does, He searches the deep things in the mind of God and takes those things and puts them in words, gives those words to men who write them down. They're translated into our own language. And by reading those words, those very thoughts that were in the mind of God now enter into our mind. And that's how we are transformed, by the renewing of our mind. Well, all of this makes me want to spend more time with my Bible. People say that they want the power of the Holy Spirit in their life. But what they need is the power of God's Word in their life. If they'll put God's Word in their mind, They'll have the power of the Holy Spirit in their life. That's how the Holy Spirit works His power in us, through transforming us by the renewing of our mind through the knowledge of His Word. Jesus said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God." And just like we take food for our physical sustenance and growth, so also the Word of God is that spiritual food that we need to take to feed our minds so that we can become more godlike in the kind of person we are. I want to begin this radio program with a tribute to the Bible. And men have written many wonderful tributes to the Bible, but the one I want to focus on is the one that I mentioned earlier in Psalm 19. If you have your Bible now, turn to the 19th Psalm. If you don't have a Bible handy, just listen. I'm going to read the parts of it that I'm referring to here. But Psalm 19, beginning in verse 7, David the poet says this: "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey in the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward." Now, isn't that beautiful? Let me explain to you why that is so beautiful. It's beautiful in one part simply because of the theme. He's talking about God's Word when he's talking about the law and the testimony and the statutes. And all of these are references to God's Word. And so anything really associated with God is beautiful intrinsically, just beautiful in and of itself. But this is also beautiful in the way that these thoughts have come to us. This is poetry. It is ancient Hebrew poetry. And a lot of times when we think of poetry, we might think, well, they'll look for something that rhymes or at least maybe has a rhythm to it. And that is good because poetry is, kind of, it's the basics. It's an artful arrangement of words to express a thought. But ancient Hebrew poetry is something more than that. It is the artful arrangement of the thoughts themselves. That's why the ancient Hebrew poetry of the Psalms is beautiful in any language. It's not dependent on the particular words of that language, but it is the thoughts conveyed by those words that give it its beauty. And they are artfully arranged thoughts. One of the things you want to notice that'll really help you enjoy your Bible, especially the poetic parts now, is to look for what we call parallelism. And that is where one thought is laid right alongside of another thought, and it's expressed in a similar way. But each time this thought is laid down besides another thought similar to it, it adds a layer of meaning and understanding to it. Now you watch for that when you're reading the Psalms and when you're reading the prophets and even into the New Testament. A lot of the writings of the New Testament still will occasionally employ this artful use of parallelism, and it is a poetry of thought. Notice how it works here. You'll see the parallel. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. And then it says, the testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. You see the parallel? The law of the Lord is parallel to the testimony of the Lord. That it is perfect, converting the soul, is parallel to it is sure, making wise the simple. And then statement after statement after statement after statement in David's tribute to God's word in this psalm follows along that parallelism. Now, as I'm reading this, I am reading this from the King James Version of the Bible. Now, I do that deliberately. I know there's a lot of translations that are out there, a lot of different versions for you to choose from. And some of the latter translations are pretty good, and some of them really aren't so good. But I like to stay with the King James Version. And in doing that, I know that I am in good company here in McMinnville and in Warren County. This is right here on the edge of Appalachia. And the King James Version still appears to me, from what I can see, the Bible's people using, still seems to be the most popular of the translations that people use. And that's not just associated with our area of the country. They tell me, when I look at the kinds of Bibles that are selling, the King James Version is always among the very top sellers. Now, that might be surprising. Some people think, well, I'll need something easier to read. But you've got to be careful about some of these Bibles that appear to be easier to read. Sometimes to make them easier to read, they will deviate from the text. The translators get the idea that we won't be able to grasp the real meaning of the text, and it'll be too hard for us to read and understand. So we'll make it simple. But in making it simple, a lot of times they either change or leave out or somehow alter the significance and the meaning of those words. Now, I know it's always difficult going from one language to another, but with diligence, that can be done. And that was done in the King James Version. If you look at the charts that compare translations and versions, these are charts really for the consumer, and I know these people making these charts are trying to sell Bibles, but still, when they do that, they will always give the King James Version high marks for its accuracy in translation. In fact, I think you could attribute its beauty to its accuracy. And some of these easy-to-read Bibles, well, they might be easy to read for a verse or two, but if you start reading them very long, the style that they're translated into can start becoming bland. It is interesting to me that some of the surveys that people have done, like the Christian magazine, the Christianity Today is the name of it, and then the Barna surveys, they have actually surveyed Bible readers. Now, this isn't just sales, but this is those that actually read the Bible. And of all the Bibles read, the King James Version is the most read Bible. In fact, I think it was the Christianity Today survey that said more people read the King James Version of the Bible than any other translation. And that is pretty remarkable, considering that it was translated over 400 years ago. And there's no question when you read it that it's not written in the way that we speak today. In fact, it probably never was written in the way people spoke anyway. It had its own style from the very beginning, and in much a way it has even formed our speech. But I'm saying all this to say this. If you're interested in reading the Bible, you might want to start reading the King James Version. It's never bland. It is always delightful. The American Standard Version was translated a few years ago, and it has been called the Rock of Biblical Honesty. And that is due to the very scientific methods by which they derived the text and rendered it into English. And it is one of my favorite translations. But the King James Bible I call the Voice of the Ages. This has been 15 Minutes with the Bible. I'm Bill Boyd. You may email me or text me at wmhboyd@aol.com. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.